In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The Gospel of the second Sunday of Baba is about the calling of St. Peter to the discipleship. And we know the story, and we heard it often, when the Lord Christ went to teach the multitude from the boat of St. Peter, and how at the end he guided him to catch a multitude of fish, and then he called him to the discipleship. So today we are going to talk about what did the Master see in St. Peter to call him to discipleship? What are the qualities? Because these qualities are not only, we are not talking about a story that happened many years before. We are talking about something that we are also called to be. We are all called to be disciples. But how we should prepare ourselves, which qualities we should try to gather in ourselves in order for us to be able to fulfill the duties of discipleship. The first quality was being St. Peter, being hard worker, faithful to his responsibilities. He worked all night long, even though he was not successful and did not catch anything, but this did not, in a way, hinder him from doing his work to the best of his ability. I cannot be a disciple to Christ while I'm slacking in my own responsibilities. We all have some kind of work outside of the church. If you are working outside in the world or working at home, we all have responsibilities. If I cannot take care of my responsibilities as a teacher or whatever the engineer or whatever job I'm doing, how can I be a good disciple to Christ? This is something we have always to ask ourselves. Am I a faithful husband? A faithful wife? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? If I'm not doing this, there is no point of thinking beyond this. Let us correct this first. Correct whom we are. Correct how we behave in our own homes. And then from this, we take the discipleship to Christ and going further to preach to others or attract them to the knowledge of Christ. We find this in David. David, when he was young, he was a shepherd. His father entrusted him with taking care of the sheep. And we know that he fought a bear and a lion just to, like, save his sheep from being devoured by these two beasts. He was careful and keen enough to take care of the sheep, and then when he was entrusted over the people of Israel, he was no less than this man of responsibility. So the first quality, being a hard worker, being faithful to responsibilities. The second quality of St. Peter is willingness to serve under unsuitable circumstances. What do I mean by this? Of course, a person who spent the whole night trying to catch fish and did not work, nothing happened, this was not successful, it's a failing mission. I'm sure at the beginning of the morning he's so disappointed and so tired. And these two things, being disappointed or tired, will make him, in a way, not to give any attention to any request from anyone. I just want to go home and have some rest, and then maybe I'll think about whatever I need to do later on. But this did not happen with St. Peter. When he was called by the Lord to borrow from him his boat, he gave it to him willfully, and he even attended whatever the Lord was teaching, and he paid attention to it. He was able to serve while disappointed and frustrated, and meeting some kind of like unsuitable circumstances. We all are called to be disciples and follow Christ and serve others. Sometimes we can do this when things are going in our favor and we are feeling like things are serving us. We are comfortable, we have extra time, we have extra resources, and then we can maybe respond to the call to serve. But the real servant is the person who is able to serve when things are not going his way, and things are so difficult, and even bristling him, but still he is able to stand for the call and do what he's supposed to do. Saint Paul instructed his disciple Timothy, saying to him, "Preach the word, be ready in the season and out of season." Season out of season related to him and his circumstances, when things are going well and things are not going as you wish. We have many examples of those people who were able to serve under difficult circumstances. One of the great examples is Tobit. We read about this great man, the father, Tobit the father, how he, when he was in the land of captivity, living away from his home, and living even under pressure of persecution, he was still paying attention to others, serving them, comforting them with his words, and going after the people who are dead and bury them during the night. He did not feel like a self-pity, saying, I have difficulties enough. I am living away from my home, and I am even like threatened by the king. If I do this, he's going to kill me. None of these hindered him from being the servant that we learn from his example. St. Paul preaching to others while his hands are in a chain. Whenever he was asked to defend himself before King Agrippa, his focus was on how to convert the king to Christianity, how to convince everyone to be like him as a Christian. He did not even like go and try to say how he now accused falsely or speaking about how he's treated unfairly in prison. He did not care much about this. His focus was on how to deliver the message, how get the people to hear about Christ. This is his mission that he served faithfully. The third quality is the ability to learn and obey against his personal experience. St. Peter is a professional fisherman. He knew that the good time to go fishing is around the night time and maybe at the dawn time. And in order for a fisherman to catch fish, you have to be near to the shore. But after Christ told him, go to the deep and cast your net, this goes against everything he learned. And he could have argued, I know nothing is going to be there. But he was willing to learn and obey, even against his own personal experience, how difficult it is to do something like this. We all are willing to obey, maybe whenever we are convinced, or when we are called to do something and we have no idea about it. So maybe you are lenient to obey and go with whatever the instruction. But if someone is telling me something against what I learned, what I know very well, how willing I am to obey this. St. Peter expressed this kind of willingness. I will do it as you say. On your word, I will throw the net. Master, we have toiled all night, saying to him, it didn't work. Why now? But at your word, I will let down the net. St. Paul was a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee, as he defines himself. So much acquainted with the Old Testament and all of the traditions of the Jews. He would be an excellent preacher if he goes and call upon those people, the Jews. He has a good background to understand them well. But when Christ called him to go to the Gentiles, he did not resist it or being stubborn. Sometimes we assume that I have the right to be stubborn because I know what I am talking about. Maybe I need to rethink this. We all need to reconsider our positions from different callings that goes against our own personal experience or our field of expertise. The fourth quality, St. Peter, was that God's blessings for him was a reminder of his unworthiness. Many people, whenever they receive a blessing, they consider it as this is the right. They did their very best and they are entitled for this. Some others even, they think it is not good enough. I deserve more than this. I am fasting, I'm praying, going to the church, I'm faithful in my worship, so why am I not receiving even more? But for St. Peter, when he received this blessing, when he caught this like multitude of fish, this reminded him that I'm not worthy of this. The good people among us, and I hope that all of us, we have this quality, they go all the time thinking of how good God for them and how they are unworthy of his goodness. Always feel like God is adding every day to my debt. If I think otherwise, there is no way I can be a disciple of Christ. If I think that God owes me anything for any reason, I will not be able to be faithful to him. The acknowledgement of being a sinner, truly, not just to fake humility. It is the quality at the first quality that God needs in order for him to work with us. King Solomon, at the beginning of his reign, he had a dream. God appeared to him and he told him, "What do you want? I will give you whatever you ask." Look here how King Solomon felt his unworthiness. He said to the Lord, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in." His sense of unworthiness qualified him for God's goodness and grace. God worked with him because he believed always that he is not up to this place, being a king over the children of God. Also, we find the same way Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes, in the beginning of his life, everything was taken by his hand. He has his way to get things as he wish. But when was the turning point for him, working with God and humbling himself, we find him praying in his way back, going to his homeland, saying to the Lord, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant." This sense of "I am indebted to God" is a necessity for us to be able to be disciples to him. There is no way we can go after this calling, become faithful servants, if I think of myself that God owes me anything. God does not owe us anything, anything. Everything he gives out of his grace, his goodness, nothing more. The fifth quality is not being distracted by material gain. And we find this quality in everyone who is called to the ministry. Usually, God gives an abundance before a person is to be asked to abandon all. If you read the autobiography of Abuna Matta Maskeen, Father Matthew the Poor, how he worked in the beginning of his life as a pharmacist. And he found himself that he is doing great, very successful. His pharmacy was doing more than all of the pharmacists in town. But all of this abundance did not distract him. He abandoned all. He sold the pharmacy, gave the money to the poor, went to the monastery. He felt like nothing of this really is worth of spending his time to labor and toil in. The same quality also we find it with Joseph, the son of Jacob. He became a ruler in Egypt, the second man. He was given in abundance. This did not distract him, making him feel like I'm above all. When his brothers came to him, fearing how he might punish them after the departure of their father, we find him saying to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." He was not distracted by his power. Sometimes power shows the quality of a person. Money shows the quality of a person. Sometimes a person is doing very well until he is given some kind of like a gift, and then you find a change in the behavior, distraction because of this gift going astray. The same quality is seen in St. Anthony when he inherited a lot of money and a lot of acres from his parents. This did not distract him from his calling. I am going to go and become a monk and live to the worship, dedicated to the worship of God. Look at the negative example of King Saul. Saul, when he was at the beginning of his life, talking to Samuel the prophet, showing humility and feeling unworthy, and then later on he was given authority, and we find him distracted with it and started to chase what he considered as his enemies, and his life as we know how it ended. The sixth and the last quality that the Lord saw in St. Peter was accepting a call with no details or guarantees. When the Lord told him, "From now on, you will catch men, you will become a fisher of men," he did not ask questions about how or when. "I have a family, I have a wife, I have children," or whatever. We do not know actually if St. Peter had children or not. He never mentioned them in any kind of discussion. He just trusted the call, trusted the person who called him. It's all about the person who called me. It's not about anything else. And this is, again, something we need always to remind ourselves with. Abraham, when he was called to follow God, He told him, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. Multiple questions here are not answered, but it is enough who is calling me. We need to apply this whenever we struggle with a certain call. If God now is asking me to live under difficult circumstances or to suffer some kind of like tribulations, we don't have to have answers for everything. This, I know, makes our mind to be kind of puzzled. I want to know why God is doing this to me. If I trust the person who called, I can go with him without having answers or guarantees or assurances that what we usually request from other people. It's a quality that St. Peter had. He went after him with no questions. As St. Mary, when she was asked to be the mother of God, she did not ask questions. She just said, I am the handmaid of the Lord. It is enough that the Lord himself is the one who is calling me. If we deliver our lives in his hands, we should trust that whatever he is allowing to happen will be for something good. We don't have to have answers. Why this is happening? When this is going to come to an end? Then what? All of these questions might not be answered, but it should not deter us from following full-heartedly, trusting that the one who called is faithful. He will take care of us as he took care of everyone he called to be his servant. All of these qualities, as I said in the beginning, are not something related to St. Peter and that's it. We are all to try to equip ourselves to ask God to give us this kind of qualities so we become as St. Peter was, a faithful and wise servant. God, to God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.